The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
How about this moment last night? Our favorite athlete of all time right this second is Sharks forward Patrick Marleau playing in his 1,768th career game, breaking the all-time record held forever by Gordie Howe. Marleau setting the record in 23 seasons. Howe did his over 26 seasons, retiring at the age of 51. And afterwards, Marleau was emotional, but he was discussing what it means.
Patty, what keeps you coming to the rink?
I just love it.
Good night, Vegas.
There's nothing else like it. So.
Pod four, you really your
seat. What a moment. When you surpass someone like Gordie Howe on a list like that, is one of the great achievements you could ever possibly imagine. Congratulations to him. We are delighted that you've chosen to get up with us here as we come live with you every single morning from the Seaport District at Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. We are packed. Let's go. It is busy today, and we are getting up with sensational Steph, single-handedly saving the season, his latest masterpiece, and the reaction to it is right off the top. Then, Trey Day now behind us. It's decision time for all the NFL teams who need quarterbacks. Once and for all, who are they going to take? We'll tell you. Plus, they need to put the D back in Big D. But there's one thing that could change everything for the Cowboys, and we'll tell you what that is in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now with sensational Steph. Performance of the night, performance of the year, looking for his 11th straight with 30 points or more. Taking on his brother in Philly. That's Seth Curry playing the D, but not enough. Steph had 29 through three, and then he went nuts. Fourth quarter, Warriors down by three, but not for long. Steph, talk about range. Just watch how often they just run this same screen and he just knocks down the three. That was his sixth of the game. Warriors down by two now. Screen, seventh of the game. Warriors up by one. Later, Warriors lead is one. It's Curry. Again from the spot, again with the using of the screen. That's eight threes. Warriors start to pull away. 2 minutes left. The lead is six. It's Steph again, working in another direction. But you give him any room and he knocks it down. That's his ninth three-pointer of the game. And with just over a minute to go for good measure, why not? The step back three. Steph Curry, 49 points on 10 threes. Is 11 straight game with at least 30. Warriors win it on the road, and you cannot spell Steph without MVP.
This streak, I'm obviously aware, but it's you don't put too much pressure on yourself. You just play basketball. I've just settled into just having fun, kind of letting the game come to you, and I'm having a blast out there just playing basketball, and it's obviously working.
You guys ask me after every game what I think of Steph and his performance, and it's whatever I said last game, just use that. It's just utter amazement at this guy's skill level, heart, mind, focus. It's just amazing to watch.
It has been. It's like something out of a video game. Let me catch you up. Since last Monday, Steph has four games with at least 10 threes. That stretch alone would be the third most such games all time. He's done it since last Monday. Moreover, he's the first player ever to average 40 points, 50% from the field, 40% on threes, and 90% from the line over an 11-game span. And after the explosion last night, he has now surpassed Bradley Beal and is the league scoring leader. He's averaging 31.4 points per game. And that's not the only thing that changed last night. How about the MVP odds? According to Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill, before the game last night, he was 50-1 for MVP. After the game, he's 20-1. Let me bring Tim Legler back into the conversation. Legs, we talked earlier, and I've been thinking a little bit more about it. How would you put into context, in a season that has been as challenging for so many reasons as this one has been, what this stretch from a player like this, who was so universally beloved, what this has meant for the sport?
Yeah, I honestly believe it salvaged the regular season. You know, I thought the trading deadline did a little bit of that for us because it added some excitement to what we knew was coming down the road. But when you look at this season in its totality, Greeny, I don't think there's ever been a year where we've had so many star players miss so many games, and particularly when those matchups were going to take place. And a lot of those national TV games that everybody was excited about, and you turn it on and most of those guys aren't there. So to have Steph Curry inject this type of electricity into the season the way that he has done, and he has now captured everybody, where you say to yourself, when are the Warriors playing next? Because I need to watch that game, because I need to see what Steph is doing. It's really incredible to think at age 33, he could have another one of these runs in him, because you think, you know, he's blown my mind to the extent that he possibly can to this point in his career, and yet here he is doing it again. I was thinking it'd be like pulling up a chair and sitting there and watching when Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel. Like, the best doing their best work. The problem is you'd have to sit there for about 5 years. This has been over the course of a few weeks to watch Steph Curry do this, but this is the best offensive stretch of an amazing career, and we're all fortunate to be able to witness it.
It's a good analogy. It's been a masterpiece. I don't think that's overstating it. I just showed you the odds for MVP. He went from 50-1 to 20-1. Right now, where does he stand in your MVP mind, and where do you think this could go?
Yeah, he's certainly top five, and he's inching up. Maybe he's going to work his way into the top three. I think ultimately there's so much value put into winning when it comes to this award. So when you look at a guy like Joel Embiid, who has the Sixers in first place in the Eastern Conference, you look at a Nikola Jokic, and you know, they've won certainly at a higher level than Golden State has this year, and he's really making a surge. Jokic also for MVP, and had another huge night again last night. You know, winning is such, it's so weighted toward the guys that are winning at a higher level. It might be hard for Steph to actually win the award, but I think you're silly if you don't look at him and think he's got to be certainly in the top five, maybe even as high as top three. When you look at the way that team's been decimated by injuries, and he's going out there every night carrying this team, knowing full well every defense is geared to try to prevent him from doing exactly what he's doing at the highest level he's ever done it. That's all you need to know about Steph Curry. So he's elevated himself into the conversation for sure. I just think ultimately there's going to be a couple of guys that have their teams winning at a higher level, and that award really values winning, as it should.
Yeah, and that's fair. I would say, though, if you take the word valuable literally, it's kind of hard to, as that's how I wanted to frame this conversation, how valuable it has been for the league to have Steph doing what he's doing. I think that does get factored in. All right, Legs, outstanding. Thank you. Great to see you, as always. So he was knocking down trades. I want to talk about another guy whose name is Trey Lance, at his second pro day yesterday. Among those in attendance, 49ers general manager John Lynch and their coach Kyle Shanahan. They, of course, have the third pick in this draft. So what are they going to do now that the process is pretty much complete? Well, there's a lot of different stuff out there. I want you to hear what Dominique said yesterday here on Get Up.
As impressive as Trey Lance's highlights are, something about those highlights give me some pause, because I look at the end zone and it says Penguins. Like, he's playing against Youngstown State. Like, let's relax. Let's calm it down a little bit. He's balling against Penguins. It's hard for me to get too excited about that tape.
So that is sort of pointing out one of the question marks. He's only started 17 games, and he's done it against lesser competition. But Dan Orlovsky yesterday on Twitter saying you don't draft on production, you draft on projection. And if you're just projecting what he figures as though he could be, then Trey Lance looks like he could be a superstar. So here's how I want to frame the conversation here. And Dan Orlovsky, I'm starting with you. I mean, the process is now done. Right? Mac Jones had a second pro day. Justin Fields had a second pro day. Trey Lance had a second pro day. How do you frame this thing right now? We're looking at the third pick in this draft. We're looking at the 49ers flying around making a decision. Lance has made himself very much a factor in this. How do you see it?
I still think the San Francisco 49ers are going to take Mac Jones. I still think the San Francisco 49ers look at Mac Jones and go, when he's going to be our quarterback, we're going to win a lot of games with this guy. And because he's so good at knowing who to throw the football to and when he has to throw the football to them and where exactly it needs to be thrown, we won't lose a lot of games with him either. Now, with Justin Fields or Trey Lance, yes, there is that talent there. And if you fix the flaw and get that talent to be the consistent thing that shows up, you're going to win a lot of games because of those guys. Okay? There's the difference. Win with, win because. But if you don't fix that stuff and it continues to show up in their game, you're going to lose a lot of games because of those guys. And I think that that's the difference between really those two players in comparison to Mac Jones. And the projection for Mac Jones may not be as high talent-wise, but Mac Jones does everything that has always been paramount and importance when it comes to playing quarterback.
So we have that on that side. Mike Tannenbaum, you're sitting in that seat. How are you looking at this decision?
It goes back to what we've talked about since January. Mac Jones is a young Matt Ryan. And when you're sitting there with head coaches who are trying to make decisions, they're projecting what was my offense look like with this quarterback. And let's remember, Kyle Shanahan went to a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. They are loaded on offense with young skill players. You put Mac Jones in there and Kyle Shanahan is saying to himself, we can get back to the Super Bowl because he's smart, he's accurate, and he's more athletic than people realize. Yeah. So I think this is the ideal fit. When they traded up 2 1s and a 3, I thought it was for Mac Jones, and nothing has changed my mind since.
And so then, Field, I'll come to you again as one who was talking to everybody through this process, and I continue to rave about that first draft podcast that you do with Mel and McShay. Now that the process is basically done, they've got 9 days to gather up whatever it is they've seen, whatever it is they think they know, and make their decisions. What is your expectation? Who's going to be the third quarterback off the board in this draft?
I expect it to be Mac Jones, and I understand that there has been some sentiment recently of those believing that Justin Fields or even Trey Lance could be the third overall pick, but the 49ers zeroed in on a quarterback the minute they made that trade in the middle of March to move up from pick 12 to pick 3. And I understand that pro days carry some weight on occasion. I understand that individual workouts and Zoom meetings can carry some weight. But when you're paying the price of two additional first-round picks to move up from pick 12 to pick 3, that was a clear indication to me at that time, Greeny, that they were locked in on a guy. I don't think that you change your mind over the past few weeks. I really believe that Mac Jones was their player they were targeting when they traded up, and there's no reason for me to feel like he won't be their player in 9 days from right now when they pick third overall in the draft.
Yeah, that plays back into the conversation we had yesterday at the risk of bringing this analogy back. If you go to a restaurant specifically to order one dish, you don't need to ask for the menu. You just order the dish. They've gone shopping in a couple of different places. Let's just see what they wind up doing. I got to leave it there for the moment. Much more to do as this hour continues. Coming up, the Cowboys need help on defense. But could they shock everyone and take another playmaker? You'll hear from the man making that decision. Next, plus Bill, the king of draft day trading. Does he have another one up his sleeve? Does he have to move up to get what he wants? We'll answer those questions next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, who had plenty of issues last season, but none bigger than their defense, which frankly was historically terrible. They gave up the second most rushing yards and the most passing touchdowns in franchise history. These numbers seem to indicate the Cowboys will likely address the defense in the first round of the draft. But take a listen to what Executive VP Stephen Jones had to say yesterday on 105 The Fan.
Certainly that's one of the goals in this draft, is to improve defensively. And then, as you said, if the right guy presents himself, not unlike CD did last year, sometimes you just got to be in a situation where if he's by far the best player left on the board, then you've got to have confidence that you can make that selection.
So So the right guy who presented himself last year unexpectedly was C.D. Lamb. He dropped further than they expected. They jumped on him. It just jumped into my head here. Who's that guy this year? Like, do the Cowboys, Dan, do the Cowboys do this? There's no way Kyle Pitts falls to them.
No.
There's no way Jamar Chase falls to them.
No.
How would they define the right guy, I guess? Is it, you're going to tell me they need to draft a defensive lineman, of which there isn't one.
Correct.
Who should go at number 10 in this draft. There are a bunch of playmakers who should.
I would say both of those offensive linemen, though, could be the right guy. If a Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater fell to 10, then I could sit there and understand Dallas going, you know what, we're going to start rebuilding this offensive line because that defensive lineman isn't there that's worthy of this 10th selection. So we're not going to take a guy that's rated 35th on our board at 10th. But if Penei Sewell, who everybody has said is going to be a big-time left tackle, and he falls, well, you got your Tyron Smith of the future, so to speak. You got your starting tackle for the next 10 years. Or Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, if he somehow fell to 10 and the Cowboys had him rated as the fifth best player on their draft board, while their defense stinks, they would then justify taking him at 10.
All right, so I think it is reasonable to guess that one of those two guys, more likely Slater, will be available. So Mike Tannenbaum, if we get to the 10th pick and the Cowboys have that option in front of them, as Stephen Jones said, maybe it's the right guy. Who are you taking if you're making the decision?
Patrick Surtain, Patrick Surtain, and Patrick Surtain. How many more times are we going to lose a game 49-47? It's okay to win a game once in a while, 14-10. We need defense. And last year, we already talked about how historically bad they are. If they can't get off the field on third down because they can't cover, shame on them. They got a really good young corner, Trevon Diggs. Go get Patrick Surtain. He's plug and play for the next 10 years. And Dan, yes, I know we need interior pass rushers, but without corners, you get sent home really fast. Take
Dan,
Surtain.
Why the face?
Because there's three ways, in my opinion, that the NFL that you swing your win-loss. Quarterback play, turnovers, and your big men. And the Cowboys' big men aren't good enough anymore. Their offensive line is not good enough anymore to go be what they want to be. Their defensive line is not good enough anymore. You can draft CeeDee Lamb, and you can draft Patrick Surtain, and you can sign Amari Cooper, and you can have Michael Gallup, and you can have Blake Jarwin, and you can have Trevon Diggs. Your offensive line and defensive lines are not good enough anymore. Okay, Dallas? That's the truth.
Dan,
and look at the bigs.
But, Dan.
What?
I just see it differently. I lived it with Rex Ryan. When we hired him, Ozzie Newsome said, hey, we're going to put him on I-95. We're going to put a sign around his neck. I need corners. We get Darrell Revis. What do? We trade for Cromartie. What do? We take Kyle Wilson in the first. That's right. You have to play man-to-man at some point. And I know the system that Dan Quinn comes from, but at some point you also have to play man-to-man. And if Patrick Surtain could eliminate the opposing team's number one wide receiver, it becomes a force multiplier on defense because now you can move coverages and double other players. And Surtain is that good where he could play man-to-man against the opposing team's best offensive player.
If you're going to tell me that you think Patrick Surtain is Darrell Revis, then we can have a different conversation, okay? Darrell Revis is a Hall of Famer. Like, one of the best ever.
Thank you.
He cut off the half of the field. So, yeah, if he's going to be Revis, sounds good. I don't see it as that.
We'll see if Surtain has an island in Dallas. Okay, let me get Yates in here. Go ahead, jump in here, Field. You make the decision. You're Stephen Jones. You're sitting at 10. You've heard the people who are available. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm still taking the cornerback. And so I understand what Dan is saying. There's not a player at pick 10 amongst the edge rushers that you would feel comfortable taking. So I would be taking a cornerback because I think it fills such a massive need. And I hear you that a pass rush can be the catalyst to good coverage play. And that, yes, you're playing a lot more cover three principles in this defense. I will say, though, that you have seen the inverse work as well. A pass rush looks better when the secondary play is elite. The Patriots two seasons ago had elite coverage play and a pass rush that looked really effective as a result of it. And moreover, at some point, the Cowboys have to just keep things simple. And if J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain, Horn, who you see here as well, is available at pick 10, don't overthink this one. The Cowboys need better personnel on defense, and they need to keep things simple. Horn, by the way, is the 1B to Patrick Surtain as 1A. This is really one of those where you could do a straw poll of 32 NFL executives, and you might get 16 votes for one and 16 votes for the other. For the Cowboys, think defense. Do not give in to temptation and go back to the offensive well. You made enough investments there. Think defense at that 10th overall pick.
Yeah, the big pass rushers in this draft in no particular order are Kwity Paye, Jalen Phillips, Azeez Ojulari, maybe Jason Owe. Very unlikely, I think, any of those guys go anywhere near as high as number 10 in this draft. Meanwhile, let's talk about the guy who's going to go number one, and that's Trevor Lawrence. The Clemson quarterback, clearly, he's going number one, regardless of what he says in any magazine. But his comments in Sports Illustrated got a lot of attention last week. I'm sure you saw it, and it got enough attention that he felt the need to address it over the weekend with a string of tweets in which he said, in part, "It seems as if people are misreading my sentiment. I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It is a huge priority in my life, obviously. I'm driven to be the best I can be and to maximize my potential and to win." And I haven't gotten the perspective of either of you two guys here on this, which got so much attention last week. So, Dan, again, as the quarterback of my group, what did you make of what Trevor Lawrence said?
Yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence realized that playing quarterback in the NFL is now like being the president. It's 24/7, 365. You know, you are never not the starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars now. And it's a little bit different than college football. It is. And I said this last week, Greeny, what are your habits? Motivation is fleeting. Do you have championship habits? And at the end of the day, Trevor Lawrence, from everything that you read about the young man, from his time in college to his time as Clemson to his time getting in preparation for this NFL draft, has championship habits. The words out of his own mouth were, "I want to be one of the greatest ever." And the tape shows me that he is a competitive spirit that is really high level. And so I don't have any concerns about anything in relation to Trevor Lawrence and his intangibles or character off the field. I just think he realized everything that he says is going to get picked apart. And what we're going to get is a little bit more succinct comments from him, likely, and he just wants to play football.
So Dan has no concerns about the comments. Mike T, do you?
Well, I really like the second follow-up comment he made because that shows a level of self-awareness. Going back to his original statement, yes, because when you have the privilege of running a franchise, Greeny, one of your responsibilities is to look around the corner 3 months, 6 months, a year down the road. Is a key coordinator going to leave? And ever since Andrew Luck retired because of injuries, that has introduced another wrinkle in what you have to be worried about. And again, I'm not saying not to draft Trevor Lawrence, but those comments last week are insightful that 3, 5, 6 years down the road, hey, could he retire early? And again, it's just something to be aware of and concerned about because Andrew Luck changed the paradigm of what we think about for franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, it is something to think about. And there are a lot of different perspectives that we've heard on this. Absolutely none of them, to be clear, including yours, Mike, suggest that he will not be the number one pick in this draft. 32 out of 32 teams would still make that decision. Guys, we have breaking news today. It's not a big surprise because this is how they do business. But from Adam Schefter's Twitter feed moments ago, the Steelers announced they have signed head coach Mike Tomlin to a 3-year contract extension. Tomlin's now under contract to the Steelers to the 2024 season. He's entering his 15th year. He's only the third head coach the Steelers have had since 1969. Their organizational stability unmatched anywhere in professional sports and a big part of the reason for their success. Coming up, Trey Lance has a superpower that Dan says could make him a superstar. We'll show you exactly what that is coming up. Plus, last year the Packers shocked the league by taking Jordan Love. Which team's going to shock us this year? You've got the answer. It's Get Up on ESPN. Come on, get up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There have been plenty of people that I doubted me. Told you. I got everything from receiver to outside linebacker, safety.
Just believe me next time, man. We can save all this time.
There was no doubt. I wanted to play quarterback.
someone tells you you're not good enough at something, the competitor in me is going to want to do it even better.
Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
This guy is electric.
But at the end of the day, I'm Trey Lance. I'm not anybody else.
All right, the resume is now complete. He's had his second pro day. Trey Lance has put his best case to be drafted high in the National Football League. Dan Orlovsky, you've been looking at the tape. What can we see?
I think Trey Lance has a superpower, and it's called playing fast, but he's never in a hurry. It's a lot like Russell Wilson. So what does it look like? You're going to see this play action pass, right? So they're going to get this slot receiver on that jet motion. We see it all the time in the NFL, and they're really trying to take advantage of this safety up top right here. This safety's responsibility is kind of this half the field. So they're going to get this play action, this jet sweep motion, and a play action pass to take a shot downfield. So what does it look like to play fast? Now, when they do that and they take that shot downfield, their number one is going to be really this crack, fake cross, and post, right? Get that safety to jump up and take the shot over the top. That's number one in the progression. And then number two is going to be the bottom of the screen. You're going to get this comeback route by this receiver. So it's really a two-man pass concept that they're trying to take advantage of. The jet motion goes there, and it's going to be a little bit of a half roll, right? Trey Lance's job is to go look like I'm sprinting out to the left, and that receiver is going to come on that big crosser, right? The first thing to pay attention to is the athleticism. Half roll and flip of the hips, okay? You see that half roll? Imagine sprinting full speed to one way, and then you've got to quickly get your hips aligned to throw to number one. Play fast. That's the athleticism. Now get your eyes on it. Right there. Did that safety jump up? Did he take the cheese when it comes to the play action pass? Eyes on that safety. He's not there. Now pay attention to the second aspect of this. Number one's not there. Number two. Now you see how he flips his hips open? If Trey Lance kept his hips downfield and tried to throw that comeback to the left, he's closed off. He can't get the ball there. He's got to open up his hips quickly to be able to drive that comeback to the sideline. That's well done. While he's about to get hit, find the comeback and make an accurate throw. Bang, ball placement is really well done right there. But to show how fast it is, I want to rewind it because it's really good. This is what playing fast but not in a hurry looks like. Okay, decision making. Again, you're going to get that motion. There's that double crack crosser post. And number two on the comeback. Now watch the clock. We put this on a clock to see how fast it happens. All that happens, one, two, three. Remember, 1.6 seconds. He went half roll, flipped the hips. He saw number one wasn't there, not there. Got his hips opened up and found number two on that comeback in 1.7 seconds. Okay, that is playing fast. Have the ball placed in the receiver, now make the catch, okay? That's playing fast, but never in a hurry. A lot of quarterbacks, when they try to play fast, it's hurried. We make bad decisions, the ball placement's poor, we don't know what we're doing. That's a superpower for Trey Lance. That is his absolute strength.
That's so well done, as I want to bring the rest of the guys back in here because he's such a fascinating prospect. And I guess one of the reasons is because, I mean, realistically, the overwhelming majority of people watching the show have never seen him play. He started 17 games for North Dakota State. They only played one game this season. They didn't have a season. They created one game as a showcase for him. Field Gates, you continue to tell me that the 49ers are going to take Mac Jones. I'm not suggesting that you're wrong. But I guess I would ask, as we watch stuff like that, projecting this out 3 years, if everything goes well, what is it Mac Jones is going to do better than Trey Lance does as a National Football League quarterback 3 years from now?
Well, Mac Jones has exceptional accuracy. I understand he had amazing wide receivers and a great offensive line, but he set the single season completion mark in Division I at nearly 78% completion percentage a year ago. He's an outstanding leader as well. He's well built. This is a guy who may not be 6'5", but close to 6'3", and a guy who's played in high leverage moments already, Greeny. I think what's important to do at this point of the pre-draft process is we're not sitting here and saying that the warts of Mac Jones are what should entice you to take Trey Lance. It's more about the positives that each one of them brings to the table. So I do think that Trey Lance's upside is as significant as any quarterback not named Trevor Lawrence in this year's draft. But quarterback and evaluation of quarterback play is very much a personal choice. The 49ers may feel as though the clear-cut best fit for us was not Trevor Lawrence, is Mac Jones. And if they don't see it in Trey Lance like they do in Mac, then you have to go with the player that you believe is the ideal fit.
And that was a quite impressive 1.7 seconds he just had right there. And again, he's got so much room to grow. Mike T., what do you think?
I see it very similar, which is if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, because I think this is where everything starts, I take Trey Lance for a lot of the reasons we saw what Dan just broke down, is we see all the things on tape that it takes to be a successful NFL quarterback. With that said, I would not want to play him from day one because it is a massive leap to go from the FCS all the way to the NFL. And if I'm the Falcons, I try to win with Matt Ryan. I want to establish Arthur Smith as my head coach. But to your point, Greeny, in 3 years from now, it's hard to argue against what Trey Lance has shown and what he can do. So I think they're the ideal fit. I think Mac Jones going to San Francisco is what we've all thought for a while. But 3 years from now, if I'm Atlanta, I am sitting pretty with a high character, highly, highly talented Trey Lance, and we could run a great play from going from Matt Ryan to Trey Lance and never look back.
And people who spend any time around him just rave about him, by the way, about Trey Lance for what that's worth, which I think it's worth a lot. Danny, final word, go.
I think a good parallel for Trey Lance is Josh Allen in Buffalo. And the things and reasons why it worked with Josh Allen in Buffalo was, one, the organization said, we're going to develop you. We are committed to supporting your development. Two, the coaching staff said, okay, we know what we need to fix, how we can accentuate your strengths. We're going to be in that journey with you as well. And then the player did it. Josh Allen committed to that development. That's why we've seen him get incrementally better. And that's really what Trey Lance is going to need, is all that support, organizational, coach, and player. And the great thing the Bills did was they supported his development while not burdening him with the need to win football games. Because once the quarterback thinks, I got to win at all costs, they revert back to old habits and the development goes away. And that's why it's so important for all those pieces to be aligned for Trey Lance to go become what he can in the NFL.
All right, let's talk more about the quarterbacks here and let's look at it a little different way. Oh, we've lost Dan, but candidly, I almost prefer it that way. I'm only kidding. Let's do a best in class here. And Mike T, we will start with you. Of all the quarterbacks in this draft, and I sort of gave this one away a moment ago by mistake, which one has the best accuracy?
Yeah, Field just talked about it as well. Mac Jones. And here's really what's remarkable about his accuracy. Alabama had 2,421 yards after catch. Now, I know they have great receivers, but to have that sort of production, you not only have to complete the pass, Greeny, but you have to put it on the right shoulder. His accuracy is absolutely amazing.
All right, Field, which quarterback in this class has the best mobility?
Go back to the player we were just discussing. It's Trey Lance, and I love this player seeing. By the way, this is the national championship game against James Madison 2 years ago, fourth quarter. This game is broken open because of Trey Lance's open field athleticism and speed. He's got excellent contact balance. Defenders bounce off of him. They don't try to tackle him. They sort of just get flicked away like flies. Incredible speed, power, agility. Dan just showed you as well, those hips, fluid as can be.
And how about the intangibles? Danny, which quarterback in this class has the best intangible?
I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was burst onto the scene or thrust onto the scene as a freshman. Championship caliber expectations, national title expectations, and he answered the bell. And we've only seen him continue to lead that program. Clemson doesn't have a ton of NFL talent on it, and all they've done is gone to the playoff year after year after year. I think he's got tremendous leadership and tremendous self-awareness.
Yeah, he doesn't have a receiver who figures to go high in this draft. His left tackle and the running back, Travis Etienne. And, oh, actually, I take that back. Amari Rodgers probably will go somewhere in the second or third round of this draft. Okay, very quickly, let's take a moment to pay enormous respect to a guy who hung him up yesterday, and that is Alex Smith, who announced his retirement on Instagram yesterday after a 16-year career as the number one pick in the draft by the 49ers and then the comeback player of the year, maybe the comeback player of all time for Washington last year. He was a three-time Pro Bowler as a member of the Chiefs. He then passed along the reins to Patrick Mahomes. A terrific and unique career. Dan, your thoughts on Alex Smith, who hangs him up yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best number one draft pick stories the NFL has ever seen. Goes from a number one pick, a little bit of a new offense coming out of college, different offense. He's a complete bust in everybody's minds, and all he's done is just deal with things and continue to persevere and has one of the greatest comeback stories ever. And I think Alex represents everything that's great about football, where people like myself fall in love with the game, is it constantly is about proving yourself to others, to teammates, to the person that you have to look at in the mirror. And I think he's a great representation of that.
Absolutely. It's well said. Alex Smith, the comeback player maybe of all time. Coming up, do the Patriots need to draft Cam Newton's replacement right now? That's the question, and the answer is next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Here's your wake-up call with Steph Curry in the center of the action and Mike Breen doing the honors.
Steph launches a three and hits it at the buzzer. Curry, another three. Bang! Steph Curry does it again. Curry drives, pulls back, puts up a three. Bang! 9 3-pointers make it now. 10 for 17 from downtown for Steph Curry.
Big road win for Golden State yesterday. Steph Curry with 49 points, 10 threes. Sixth time this year he's made at least 10 threes. No other player in the NBA has more than five of those games in their career. He's done it six times this season. Steph Curry on an MVP trajectory. Meanwhile, our MVPs are Mel and McShay. And brand new this morning, you can see it on ESPN+. Mel and Todd did a three-round mock draft where they alternated picks and they played the roles of general managers for all 32 teams. Again, this is the picks they would make, not projecting who they think will be selected, but the picks they would make. And so no big surprise at the top. Mel went first. He took Trevor Lawrence for Jacksonville, and then Todd followed that up with Zach Wilson for the Jets. So no surprises there. Then Mel, with the third pick on behalf of San Francisco, took Justin Fields. Again, he's not telling you what he thinks is going to happen. He's telling you what he would do. He also projected a trade Mel did with himself. He projected his Patriots pick from 15 to his Lions pick at 7. So he's got New England moving up to 7 to take Mac Jones. And then Mel took the last quarterback on the board, if you will, of those five. And that would be Trey Lance at 9 to Denver, saying he thinks that Lance has a higher ceiling than the current quarterback there, which is Drew Locke. And so take a look when it was all done. This is the top 10 they put together. I'll remind you once more that these are picks they would make, not what they're projecting will be made. And again, the entire thing is available. Three rounds in this mock draft on ESPN+. So the most interesting part of that to me clearly is New England moving all the way up to 7, doing something Bill Belichick, two things he never does. He never moves up in the draft. He always moves back. And he never takes quarterbacks early. That said, these are different times for the Patriots. So, Dan, I'm giving this to you as simply as I can. Be as specific as you will. What do the Patriots need to do about quarterback right now?
They need to even the playing field within their division because their division has got Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, and likely Zach Wilson. Now, who is that? If I was New England, I'd be targeting Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields fits a lot of what they're trending towards wanting to be offensively. You're looking at 1 year with what Cam Newton did last year. And I got to imagine that Josh McDaniels, who's this super kind of creative offensive mind, just dipped his toe in the water and said, man, we can do some really cool stuff with this quarterback movement, a little bit more of getting outside the pocket, utilizing the quarterback run, being a big time athlete, while also operating stuff at the line of scrimmage. Justin Fields has plenty of tape where he's operating protections at the line of scrimmage. So he can kind of morph the offense of the past with Tom and the offense of last year with Cam into what they could potentially do with Justin Fields. I just think they'll have to be aggressive to go get him.
All right, Fields, same question to you. If you're Belichick, what specifically are you thinking I need to get done in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think that Justin Fields is the preferred quarterback in this year's draft class, who I think is also realistic to acquire, right? I've been operating under the presumption I'll show that it goes Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and then Mac Jones. The question, I think, is just how far of a move-up will it require to land a player like Justin Fields? I tend to think the floor for the fifth quarterback, as I mentioned earlier, is the ninth overall pick, but Justin Fields has a massive arm, excellent accuracy, leadership that is just unquestioned, a guy who has this feel for big moments that I think is going to resonate, because although the Patriots dipped last year, you know the Patriots, because of their 20-year run of success, are always going to be a team with a bullseye on its back. They need a leader who can handle that pressure. I believe that Justin Fields has so much good football ahead of him and would fit right in as a natural succession plan following Cam Newton, which could be after this season or after just a couple of games in the 2021 regular season. We'll see just how much time or how long of a leash Cam Newton would actually have in that scenario.
And then, Mike T, I'm fascinated by the mechanics of it. Take me through how this works as one who has made these calls. Your Bill, you want to get up there to get one of these quarterbacks. We see the spots in front of him that might be available. Take me through how you would anticipate that going.
Yeah, Green, those conversations are literally happening right now. I'm sure Coach Belichick is on the phone with Matt Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers. They're there at 8. They recently traded for Sam Darnold. They owe a 2-4 next year to the New York Jets. A perfect win-win is for Coach Belichick to say to Coach Rhule, hey, if our player is there, player X, but if he is there, we will come up and give you 15 and next year's one. That is a win-win because now – if I'm Carolina, I have Darnold. I don't have a 2-4, but I have 2-1s next year. And if I'm New England, I got a massive discount over what San Francisco had to pay to Miami to move up. And if it's Fields' scenario, they come out of this with Justin Fields. He sits behind Cam Newton. And I think that's a win-win between Carolina and the Patriots.
To be clear, though, I just want to make sure we're being clear. You're not talking about making that trade today. You're talking about Bill saying to Matt Rhule, if the player is there, we'll do that on the clock.
Absolutely, and I've done that before where you have agreement in principle where we're not going to trade up for less and you're not going to ask for more. This is the parameters of the trade if the player we want is available to be drafted.
All right, I need to do an entire show just on that, just on those conversations because I find that just fascinating. I'll leave it there for the moment. Much more to come as we continue getting up with you this morning, including up next. Last year, the Packers shocked the entire world by taking Jordan Love. Who's going to be this year's surprise taking a quarterback? The answer is next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I tell you what a lineup we have for you this weekend. Saturday afternoon, we got the Sixers and the Bucks, a big one in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Saturday night, UFC 261 on pay-per-view. 3 titles on the line. Prelims start 8 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN+. Sunday afternoon, Nets and Suns, star-studded. And our Sunday night baseball matchup, series finale between the Padres and Dodgers. Huge weekend coming your way on the family of networks. Meanwhile, coming your way here on First Take this morning, is this the best Steph Curry has ever played? They'll dive into that. Plus, should the Giants consider replacing Daniel Jones and trading up? It's First Take with Stephen A., Max, and Molly, and it's coming up next. Meanwhile, speaking of quarterback surprises, going back to last year's draft, the Packers raised everybody's eyebrows, especially those of Aaron Rodgers, when they traded up in the first round to take Jordan Love. So the question that we're asking our group this morning is, what is the surprise that sits out there this year? Like in the top 50, if you had to say which is going to be the quarterback move that stuns us all, Dan Orlovsky, I'll start with you. Who have you got?
Yeah, I would say the Minnesota Vikings finding a way to get a quarterback relatively early. Kirk Cousins under contract for 2 more years. And I think we all have a really good understanding of who Kirk is, a good player. Is there a player that falls in the draft or the Vikings see as a potentially more talented guy? Now, the Vikings have the 14th pick and no second rounder, but they have 2 threes and like 4 fours. Is there a way to get them up in the draft? Now, Davis Mills is the guy that comes to mind. Because of the physical talent that is there, the ability to throw so well on the move, I love his deep ball. He's got this great talent compacted into an athletic body. really well coached and trained in Stanford by David Shaw, but he just hasn't played a ton. And he's one of those untapped potential guys that a team like the Vikings might sit there and go, you know what, he's too good for us to pass on. We're going to take him now and think we're really good at the quarterback position for the next 10 years. I'd be shocked, but I could see Minnesota doing it.
Well, and so you played by the rules. We talked about this earlier today. Tannenbaum and I will each make a pick here. Neither one of those would be shocking, although there would be some surprise involved. Go ahead, Mike T.
Yeah, who thought somebody from UConn would know the difference between shock and surprise? Nonetheless, what a role that Jason Light's been on, general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, acquires Tom Brady, wins the Super Bowl, brings them all back, Shaq, Barrett, Godwin, everybody, and let's keep it going, Jason. Get your quarterback of the future. It's a surprise, but take Davis Mills, and here's why. Get the fifth year on his contract. Let him sit behind Tom Brady. He's talented, Greeny, as you pointed out for several months. He's been hurt. It's the ideal situation to sit for a year or two and then let Tom Brady hand the baton to Davis Mills. And now if you're Tampa Bay, hopefully you have quarterback continuity for the next decade.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. And I went a similar direction. I love Mills. I've been talking about it forever. And I put him in Pittsburgh, and I guess maybe the big surprise there, Mike Tomlin, who just signed an extension there, he needs his quarterback of the future because you're going to get one more year of Ben Roethlisberger, and Mills feels like that project. And Field, you're not going to make a pick for us here because of some of your responsibilities around the draft. But let's talk about this level of quarterbacks here. You've got Davis Mills, and you have another group of players. At what point would you start expecting to see them go? We know the big five. But at what point are you expecting to see if there is such? I think there could be a run on the next level of quarterbacks. Roughly where in the draft do you expect to see that coming?
I'd be very surprised if it's in the back end of the first round like you guys are all talking about right now, Greeny. I think there could be one, maybe two in the first half of the second round. But I think a lot of these players that we're talking about right now are going to be maybe late seconds, maybe third round picks. If you just look at the history of quarterbacks in the draft, you often hear a lot of talk about potential second round picks or late first round picks. It does not usually bear out that way. Kellen Mond, a name I believe will hear his name called in the second round, but it wouldn't stun me if Davis Mills goes somewhere in the middle to late third round. I understand some of the upside, but also a lot of projection involved there for Davis Mills, an inexperienced starting quarterback.
Davis Mills is a name from Stanford. You just mentioned Mond from Texas A&M. Kyle Trask from Florida is a name that will be called at some point. Jamie Newman from Wake Forest is another one of those, so we'll see where the quarterbacks go. Guys, thank you for getting up with us today. Outstanding work. And as always, more importantly, thank you for getting up with us. We will see you back in Better Than Ever. Same time, same place tomorrow. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. Right here, First Take starts now.